Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 on the FM dial, Placidas, New Mexico, the high desert. And today we are going to have a conversation with Rhea Rothberg. Welcome, Rhea.
Thank you.
You have a diverse resume, so I can't say, you're the senator from New Mexico or a firefighter.
At the cocktail party, you
say, hi, I'm Rhea, and I'm a fill in the blank.
I'm an artist. So how do you know about my resume?
It's the internet, man.
Chef, and yeah, okay.
But that's not the not what we're going to cover today.
Right.
We're here to talk about the studio tour and to talk about you as a Placidan. So it's kind of a double whammy.
Okay.
So let's start with the studio tour. This is which year?
This will be the 19th year. We started in 98.
Okay.
1998. So this will be the 19th tour.
Well, then the obvious question, jumping ahead 30 minutes, is there a big 20th year tour planned?
No. We'll just hope to get through this one and start again the next December, getting ready for the next one.
So 19 years. Why did it start? Who saw a need?
Well, it's that darn guy, Tom Ash, actually. I had done run the first 2 years of the Placidas Home Tour.
Okay.
Which I guess started in 96. And after 2 years, Tom said to me, you know, there's so many artists here. You should really start a studio tour. And I sort of shrugged my shoulders and said, oh, good idea. And here we are. So yeah.
We'll have to do a conversation about the home tour, because I can only imagine in 96, it must have been a very short tour.
Yes, it was. It was pretty easy to organize in those days. Although, those things all ebb and flow.
The studio tour, do you have numbers as far as, has it just continually grown, or is it?
The first year, I was trying to remember, and I think we had 24 artists the first year. And I think we charged them like $25 a piece. We had no idea what we were getting into. And we just jumped in and flew with it. And it was a big success. We were, people talk about the signs, how well our signage works. And that first year, and for many years actually, we got together, cut stencils, used spray paint, worked in someone's driveway, and made every sign by hand.
Now, I often describe it to people, your mapping and the signs and all the publicity that helps you get around. It's not unlike MacArthur invading Normandy, if in fact it was MacArthur who invaded, whoever invaded Normandy. I mean, this is a well-executed military maneuver.
The signage is key to the tour making sense to people and people finding studios. So, and if you go to other studio tours, you recognize right away when there's a problem with signage.
Absolutely.
It's like it's the major problem. Yeah. So
because we were just at a show last week, and it wasn't like it was a convention room that was all rows and rows and rows. There was a right-hand turn there, and the rows did not run alphabetically, and it didn't start with A. So, I mean, you could figure it out if you had above room temperature IQ, but it's still like, well, why is the first row K? So I know what you mean.
I get it. And, of course, the studios are so spread out throughout the Placidas area from east to west and north to south. But once we know who's going to be on the tour, one of the first things that happens is placing all those studios on the map and numbering the studios and getting all that into a spreadsheet.
Sure.
And
which all artists are expert at.
All artists are expert at all technical things. Yes. Anyway, it's interesting because we have had, I think, 6 different sign captains or chairmen of the sign committee, so-called. And we have cycled back to John Couch, who was the original.
Oh.
And he was the one who, first said, okay, we have to show the people who are putting up the signs, all artist labor, by the way, exactly where to put the sign. We also have to teach them how to pound a stake into the ground without splitting the stake. We have to obey the highway rules. highway department rules about where we can put signs and so forth. So it is a huge thing. And John was the first one, and now he's back to the job, although I don't think he's going to do it again next year. But it's been great, and it really is a key issue.
Yeah. Do you want to take this opportunity to tell your group who's going to be doing the signs next year?
We'll see who steps forward. Okay. But what we're doing this year is we are actually dividing the labor much more generally among the artists. And so the neighborhood captains will take responsibility for their area. And, you know, as you know, there are many neighborhoods in Placidas. So that's a big group of captains, and then they have a team. So the other thing that happens, of course, is that we have to put the signs together. Even though we don't spray paint the signs anymore, they're screen printed. But the numbers all the signs have to be assembled. The right number has to be put with the right arrow, going the right direction. It's a list of instructions that goes out to each neighborhood and a pile of signs. And then there's this job at the end to take them all apart again. And Jim Fish stores them for us at the winery, which is fabulous. Anasazi Fields Winery has been...
They're good to everybody.
They're good to everybody. And we put the signs together and take them apart there. We store them there.
Jim, maybe have a glass of wine.
Maybe.
Is there... Well, we're talking about a lot of activities here. Mm-hmm. How many people does it take to do this?
It takes them all. However many there are. So this year, it'll take 59.
Okay.
Okay. You know, the committee sort of changes a little bit. It's usually about a half a dozen people, maybe up to eight from year to year. It varies a little bit. And they are the ones, you know, where the buck stops. I mean, Bunny Bowen does a fabulous job as webmaster. She's a key part of the committee. Joan Fennigal, who everybody at KUPR knows.
Well, we can say everyone...
Who matters?
East of 25 knows Joan.
Right, okay. And she puts our brochure together and does a lot of other things. Mars Rackstraub puts the map together. And, you know, this is sort of an engineering feat, this map, as you can see. Not the people on the radio, but we can do sound effects. And yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it took when we... finally bought a piece of land and started thinking about building on it to try and find it on Google Earth. And that particular street, they hadn't extended that far. So,
sure.
Which enters in the whole kind of other things of, well, how do you order a power meter if there's no address and it doesn't exist in Google Earth? And if you don't
you
exist
must
on Google
not
Earth,
be there.
Exactly. It's like the island lost. But we did meet the UPS man and he knew where we lived. So we knew Amazon would be happy.
The UPS man is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all love him, too.
I guess my point was that you had mentioned all the little nooks and crannies of neighborhoods. In addition to seeing some marvelous art, and when will I be doing this? What dates?
The 7th and 8th of May. It's always Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
And this year that falls on the 7th and 8th of May.
So while I'm viewing all the great art on Mother's Day weekend... I get to learn all about Placidas, especially, you know, I'm finding more and more people have not been here 31 years like yourself. They've been here 2, 3, 4, 5 years, mm-hmm. and they're on this whole discovery thing.
Right.
And this is a great way to find neighborhoods.
There are actually people I've met in Albuquerque or people I've met on the who come to the tour who've never been to Placidas.
Yes. That we just remarked that the other day. We were talking to a server who's probably 35 years or 40 years old, grew up in Albuquerque. Yeah, I hear it's real nice out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Well, one of the reasons people love coming out is because they do see way more of Placidas than you would ever guess is even here if you're just driving, say, up to the village or up the mountain mm-hmm. and stick on 165. So you get to see all kinds of fabulous studios in unique settings. And there are some amazing studios. I mentioned John Couch before. John and Nancy, who do the tour every year, have a beautiful hand-built studio that they build out of logs that they harvested. I mean, it is a treat.
I've met her, and why not? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That just says Nancy.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's part of what we were talking about before we started recording is the... incredible quantity and quality and variety of artists in this. I don't know how many square miles we are, but
I don't either.
And I hear quotes between 5,000 and 8,000 people, and kind of surprised that we can't narrow it down a little. But, you know, percentage-wise, mm-hmm. you know, I'm often wondering because I have no visual arts. I can't paint or draw.
Good.
Yeah. We don't need more competition. Yeah. I mean, I can play music. I guess this is an art to an extent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm expecting a letter one day saying, you must learn to do something artistic or you must leave.
I think you found your niche.
Yeah. So what has changed over the years? You said at first it was, $25, and I assume that covers signs and...
Well, it did then. It wouldn't now. Because, and the other thing was, we hardly had any advertising in the beginning. Now our entire budget is advertising, except for the signs and sign material.
And the buy-in is...
It's $200 an artist.
Okay.
And it has been that for some number of years now.
You don't get a piece of the pie?
Nope. Okay.
All right.
Well, except at the kickoff party if we have pie.
Okay. I'm more of a cake guy, but...
Well, okay. We'll have cake, too.
Okay. Actually, I am more of a pie guy, but I just had to say that. That doesn't sound like a lot of money. I mean, I don't...
They're investing $200, which means they have to take it seriously, I think, for most mm-hmm. of them. But they're also investing a fair amount of time. Everybody's required to work. And whether that's just putting together signs or putting signs up, or now this year we're asking people to do more, so we've got more people maybe doing data entry or writing public relation information or what have you.
Sure.
So it's a commitment in time. And if you don't do your time, you don't do the tour next year. So there are consequences. You know, if you forget to show up, too bad.
Right.
But, I think it's the right amount. It turns out to be the right amount of money to budget for what we do. I mean, we could always spend more and have more ads or whatever. But I think we really cover it. We advertise, you know, from Los Alamos and Santa Fe to Bernalillo mm-hmm. yeah. and Placidas well, and Albuquerque. And,
yeah. Speaking of that, do you attempt to, I guess, accumulate data of how far you're drawing from?
Yes. I don't think we're real scientific about it, but what we do is we ask all the artists to talk to their guests, and then we get feedback at the end of every tour from the artists. And so we do know that people come from a fair amount. In fact, some people come, now that they've done it a few times, they'll come visit their friend. You know, they come from Oklahoma or someplace, and they... Not that Oklahoma's terribly far away, but, you know, we've had people from the East Coast. They come and visit their friend. They time it so that they're here for the tour.
Right.
And so people do actually come from great distances as well as locally. But mostly it's, you know, Berlin, and it's the sort of the greater Albuquerque area and Santa Fe. And
so after 19 years, you think it is on a family's calendar?
It's definitely on a family's calendar. And
it's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. The only other thing that we really tend to compete with is UNM as a graduation that day. So sometimes people fall away for 1 year and then they come back.
Right.
And they come back and they tell us, you know, we missed it last year, but we had to.
We apologize.
Somebody got married.
I'm sorry,
or somebody graduated. Yeah. So it's interesting.
I mean, yeah, I would think being more of a scientist than an artist, that knowing where the people are coming from is how you decide where you put your marketing dollars.
Right, right. And I think we really have figured that out.
Is there a website for the Placitas Studio Tour?
.com.
Placitas.
Yep, PlacitasStudioTour.com. And it's a great website.
With that, I will remind everyone that this is KUPR 99.9 FM in Placitas, New Mexico. This is Conversations with Matthew Brownson. And we are having a conversation with Rhea Rothberg about this year's Placitas Studio Tour. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome to you. All right, so we're talking about the PlacitasStudioTour.com. Is that a good way to say, hey, I come from Durango? Or is it informational, or is there a way for people to comment?
Well, you can contact us through the website if you want to, if you need to, if you have questions and so forth. Mostly what it serves as is a great introduction to each artist. Each artist has an image, and then if they have a website, you can connect to their website, a link.
Yes.
We also have links to all our wonderful local sponsors, and if they have a website. So the map is there. You really can plan your tour by visiting the website and sort of decide what your priorities are. There are 59 artists this year at 49 sites. That's impossible to actually do unless you spent 10 minutes at every site and did it both days.
Right.
And there are people who come out and are determined to see every studio. I've had a few come through the studio. It's like, hi, bye. Glad you came.
That's like being determined to go on every ride in Disney World.
Well, there you go.
It's a fool's errand.
It's really fun, so people want to. But it's a very good idea, and I highly recommend that people visit the website ahead of the tour at weekend so that they can plan their tour.
Well, it's going to be helpful if for some reason, I'm into glass fusion, if that is a thing. I don't know.
Well, fused glass is
okay,
a thing. Glass fusion might be like a kind of music.
Yeah, it's probably at Los Alamos.
Philip Glass, and yeah.
So I can pick out which ones I want to go to.
Yeah, and you can sort of plan it also logistically because then, of course, the numbers start at one end of town and sort of go to the other, and we actually switch that every year to be fair.
Well, speaking of that, that was kind of gnawing at the back of my head when we were talking about the maps and everything. Is there? I want to be number one.
No, there isn't.
Or never even. I don't want to be number 13.
No, we haven't had that come up. And I think I even was number 13 one year. It was just fine.
I was trying to sell a home up in the Washington, D.C. area many years ago. And this Japanese couple loved the place. Would not buy the house because of the address. So that's why I asked.
Yeah, sure. No, I get it. But
I don't get it.
Hasn't come up.
How else have things changed over the years? I mean, the price has gone up. The numbers have gone up. Mm-hmm. Or is it just kind of a natural organic evolution?
I think that's a good description. I think it has been a natural evolution. You know, the people who are willing to take on more responsibility usually get stuck with it.
Right.
And I know I said started saying a couple of years ago that I needed somebody to kind of be an understudy because I wanted to fall back a little bit. And 2 years went by and nobody stepped up, you know. And then Nancy stepped up. Last year, but this year we're running it sort of as a committee.
Okay.
So that's not going to work either. I think in the long run we'll have somebody who'll step up. We're sort of courting the new younger talent, and anybody listening out there who's feeling ambitious and wants to take this on
needs another
challenge. But it is so rewarding. I mean, it's sort of why I couldn't not do it.
Well, it's something that...
Of course, it's my baby, but...
Yeah, it has to continue.
I think it does, and we've been very lucky because we picked early on, when we picked Mother's Day weekend, there weren't so many studio tours. Now, actually starting the weekend before ours, there are studio tours almost every weekend in mostly northern New Mexico. And so we sort of have laid claim to that weekend, and I would hate to see us lose it just because we, you know...
Sure.
Didn't keep it going for a year or something.
It's interesting that you say, you know, you're for all the young folks out there, people 50 and under.
Right, exactly. I was under 50 when we started this.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme from a lot of the groups that I meet through the show and whatever. When Rhea Rothberg, you, came to Placidus 31 years ago, you were 31 years younger.
Right.
And...
So were we all,
yes,
you know, on the committee, yeah.
And that seems to be, well, I'll just ask you, when 31 years ago, were you about the same age as most of the people in Placidus?
I was about the same age as most of my friends.
Okay.
No, you know, Placidus has definitely aged, I think. Not as many people my age, the age I was when I moved here, which was 30, in my 30s. There aren't that many people that age at this time in our country who can afford to move to Placidus, I think. And we're not seeing it. Or they're not artists, and I'm just not seeing it. I mean, obviously there's some young families because the elementary school is going strong.
Yes.
But...
And the daycare over at the church.
There you go.
I mean, there are cars there all the time.
There you go.
So, and maybe...
But maybe they're not, you know, they're busy with kids.
So the...
Art takes time.
Yes. But the 45, 50-year-olds, they could start to be empty nesters. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that a lot of these groups that have relatively senior management, mm-hmm. it's because they haven't reached, and I'm not picking on them, I'm just saying they just haven't, no one's figured out how to get to that 45 to 50-year-old group yet. Uh-huh. It's not that they don't want to do it. I think they may not necessarily know about it, even though it's a small community.
Well, it's a small community, but even though it hasn't grown a huge amount in population, it seems like it's gotten bigger as people, I don't know, maybe it's just people who haven't been here as long and don't know each other as well. There aren't as many activities maybe that they meet around. I don't know what that is, but we have a handful of new artists this year, some of whom are younger. So,
are they also new to Placidus or they're new to the tour?
Both. Okay. I think both, mixture.
Do you ever get, is there a notable percentage that of people who've been here for 10 years and have said, this year I'm doing the tour?
Oh, well, notable. I don't know about notable, but yes, that happens. And there are sometimes people who've been coming on the tour for a long time and finally feel that their inspiration, it's that moment. They're going to jump in and be part of it instead of just coming and
so looking. Going on the tour can be a catalyst to say, okay, I've always wanted to watercolor, and now I'm going to go to Walmart and buy a kit for 29 cents and... You got to start someplace for you.
We have a Michaels down there now.
There you go.
But I think a lot of artists come on a lot of the people who come on the tour are artists from other places. They're looking for inspiration. People are always looking for inspiration. It's not just collectors, although, we love collectors. And a lot of artists are collectors. But there are people, let me say, the studio tour is not, the Placidus studio tour is not a juried show. So my plan my feeling about it when I first started it was that I wanted it to be all inclusive. I did not want it to be a case of artists judging other artists' abilities. I think that settles itself out in time, and that's not my concern so much. And people can go to the website and plan their tour, so they're going to pick out who they want to see.
That's
all works out. My initial and still my main concern with who I want on the tour are people who are at least organized enough to get their application in by the deadline and willing to serve a few hours extra work,
sure.
Putting signs together or whatever that is.
Everyone involved are artists, but this is still like a business in a way. It's an event. Things have to happen.
Things definitely have to happen. You have to stick to a schedule.
Right. And it's just respectful of the people who are trying to run it for you.
Right.
Now, I know I told you we were going to talk a little bit about Rhea Rothberg in a little bit, but there was one point I wanted to kind of touch on since you just brought it up, that when you started this 19 years ago, and you've been here for 31 years, and you wanted it to be an all-inclusive, non-juried show. Does that tell us anything about Rhea Rothberg, the artist? Did you feel that perhaps you didn't get to show as much as you wanted because you didn't get accepted by the jury?
Well, I think every artist experiences that, but no, it wasn't that. No, it's just that I was so... I'm very moved by what happens in Placidus. And... one of the highlights of the tour for the artists is the following weekend we do the tour.
Right.
Those who can participate. We start as close to number one as we can, and we go to every studio that has decided to participate in that after tour. That day spent with all the other artists, and we carpool, so you're in a car with a few others.
Right.
You might switch cars at some point. You're seeing each other's studios because you can't do that on the weekend of the tour. We could the first year.
Right.
We could sneak off if we had a helper and go visit another studio if it were nearby.
Right.
But that doesn't happen anymore. We're just way too busy. We're lucky.
And the footprint of Placidus has expanded.
That too. But it's a community building thing. And I guess you'd say I'm a community builder.
Okay.
More than...
Well, see, now we called you an artist in the beginning.
Right. Well, no, but I'm just saying my the reason I don't want it to be juried.
Right. I thought I had hit on a Dr. Phil, Diane Sawyer kind of moment here, but not so much. let's tell some of the people who perhaps have not fully embraced the Placidus Holiday Tour, which will be this Mother's Day weekend.
It's not the studio tour.
No. You have too many things that you do. This is the Placidus Studio Tour happening this Mother's Day. What kind of art can people expect to see? Because each art show I go to is a wide variety of art, and often I'm surprised, like, well, I didn't think I was going to see that here.
Yeah, well, it is almost, you name it, and we have it, because with 59 artists, it is an amazingly wide range of art. Certainly, you know, you'll see drawings and paintings, and you'll see traditional, and you'll see very contemporary work. But you'll also see bronze sculpture. We have a weaver this year for the first, I think, the very first time we've ever had a weaver. You'll see glass art in several forms. You'll see beautiful pastels. You'll see ceramics. You'll see fused glass. You'll see blown glass.
Does the weaver use a
I haven't
local
seen her. I haven't seen
wool?
Her. I, you know what? I haven't seen it, and so I don't know.
I'm just being silly.
Yeah. You'll see batik. You'll see gourd art. Again, visit PlacidaStudioTour.com, and you'll be amazed at the range.
And is there anybody, you know, when you get a group of professionals together, there's always somebody who wrote string theory or is an author of 9 books. Is there anyone in as part of this year's tour, or maybe just in Placidus, that is like a mega artist that perhaps we didn't know lived here?
Me.
Okay. I knew you lived here.
You know I'd say that. Well, people come and go. And
from Placidus?
Yes. I mean, we've had people who are, you know, internationally. Well, I'm internationally collected, but we've had, you know, big stars, people who sell all over the country, so forth. And we've had kitchen table artists. I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't think it matters. I don't think that's
sold,
the point.
Or how much it's sold for? Is that the barometer of how successful you are as an artist?
I think it all depends on the individual. So for some people, it's being well-known. For some people, it's making a living.
Right. So many people in various arts and music are not even known until they're dead for centuries.
Sure. Absolutely.
So
some people got booed on their first performance.
And some people, I cannot understand how they charge money for some of their stuff.
Right. Well.
And they're doing quite well. They don't need me.
It's a wonderful world.
Yes. Speaking of money, is the holiday tour.
A holiday sale?
The holiday sale. I'll get these. At least I got your name right. You know.
Good.
That's good for me.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
I'm a face person. On the at the holiday sale, that obviously is for the purpose of making money.
Yes, and it's a totally different. We're not even related to each other.
Right. I'm just thinking events that hit.
Right.
That
it's
here.
That's a bigger. I mean, the Placidus Studio Tour is. You could almost call it educational.
But I'm an artist. I'm putting down my $200. Mm-hmm. I'm finally cleaning up my studio so people can come in, or my garage.
Right.
Is that just something that I want to do as an artist, or is there an anticipation of I'm at least going to make my $200 back?
I think most people do, for sure, and more. There are, you know, there's some serious collectors in New Mexico, and they come. So this is good. And a lot of people, from myself and Wayne, we paint collaboratively. We do some big pieces. We usually get a commission. And that comes maybe a month later or 2 months later.
Right.
But it's because someone came to the studio and saw the work or saw the studio or talked to us. And that is a connection that the artists get to make with people who are interested enough in what they do to make this little trip. I mean, it's not very far actually to come to Placidus, but it's an effort.
Right.
And the people who make that effort have some serious interest and maybe an investment in looking at art about art.
You don't do an overnight trip if you're not interested in this.
Right.
Let
me say the other thing that's different about the holiday sale is that it's not unique. It's not specifically artists from Placidus anymore. They have artists who come to be in that show from around the state and even maybe, you know, someplace else. So it's not, it's a totally different sort of setup.
This is
strictly Placidus, and it always has been. You have to either live here or have your full-time studio in Placidas in order to be on the tour.
Do we have people who have a full-time studio here who don't actually live in Placidas?
I don't think we do now, but we have had in the past. I don't think we do this year.
Okay.
But that's the way we write the guidelines so that that's possible.
Because if you are an artist who is attempting to pay the mortgage in the grocery store, through your art, it's a business also.
Right.
And so not all of that is time in doing your art. There's the Facebook page and marketing. So this is just part of your art business.
Correct.
Hopefully you sell.
Right.
But great exposure targeted to the people that will hopefully give you money.
There you go.
Well, thank you, Rhea Rothberg. We're talking about the Placidas Studio Tour at PlacidasStudioTour.com. And it's every year. This is year 19.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for letting us share.
And this has been Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 here in Placidas, New Mexico. So until next time, I guess keep talking. Can that be my tag word?
Sounds good. Thank you.